I'd like to read maybe more than I do sometimes. My subject is God's guidance. I have subtitled it Map and Compass, and perhaps that will, I hope that comes to light a little later. I'd like to read as a scripture lesson the 35th chapter of Isaiah. I think I'll read the entire 10 verses. And the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them, and the desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be open, the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. For in the wilderness shall waters break out, and streams in the desert. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. And the habitation of dragons, where each lay, shall be a grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. The wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon it. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. As a beginning point, and actually we're going to defer discussing it for a few moments, but will be the 8th verse of this 35th chapter of Isaiah. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. The journey from birth to death through a sin-cursed world is fraught with peril. The sinner is ill-equipped to confront such peril and will certainly come to a complete ruin and loss except that he be led by a loving God who would that no man would perish. The only way we have of successfully getting through this journey is by the guidance of God. God's guidance is necessary to go to heaven, to please God, and to live a blessed life. If we're going to get through these allotted days successfully, it will have to be by the guidance of God. These allotted days are vitally important because by them, God gives opportunity for preparation for a long, long eternity. So this journey is very important. While it only lasts for a few days, the result of it is eternal. Now, before we get into this way that Isaiah talked about, I want to talk a little bit about the tools that God gives us. And we're going to go to the board. Little exercise. I don't really want you to do this at home, because if you pick the wrong place, it could be very laborious. But I want you to go out here north of town somewhere and find your hill. There's several of them out there. Okay, and I want you to go to the very top of that hill. I want to mark that with an X. Now, from that point, any direction you walk, if you've truly found the crest of the hill, is down. Agreed? Okay. When you get, I want you to go from there, and I want you to go down any direction, 10 feet. Not horizontally 10 feet, not over the hill 10 feet, down 10 feet. It may be a long ways, it may be a short ways on the hill. But I want you to go to a point in any direction where you'll be 10 feet down from the crest of the hill. Let's say that'll put you about here. If you've gone down, then you're going to look, and you're going to look down. Behind you is going to be up. Right and left are going to be level. So turn right or left. I don't care which one. And I want you to walk and stay on the same elevation. Don't go up and don't go down. There will be a step ahead of you that will be exactly the same elevation. I guarantee it. Okay? I want you to walk, and if you do that, I think you'll find that somewhere you will come where you started. Does that make sense? Okay? Then I want you to look back down the hill, and I want you to go down another 10 feet. I want you to do the same thing. You go either direction. It doesn't matter. We're looking down, and we're mapping, keeping a record of where you walked. That's a path you walked. Okay, we're going to go down another 10 feet. Ten, 20, 30. You're now 30 feet lower than you started. We'll stop there. That's a 40-foot high hill, which is enough to see that it's a hill. Okay. If we put this hill, by the way, and you went and looked at it from the front, this hill would look something like that. Okay? What we have done here is take two dimensions, height and width, and we've represented three dimensions on it. We now have width, height, and depth. If you did that over all this area north of Bowling Green, you'd have one hill and then another hill. You'd have lots and lots and lots of these lines. And then you draw in the rivers, Barren River for one, and all the little creeks, and the roads and highways and the houses. You cover places that have woods on them green and do some other things. You come up with something that looks like this. In fact, if you did it accurately, you come up with something that looks exactly like this. Because this is the area north of town. It's a topographical sheet. Again, two dimensions, but it represents three. Where these lines are really close, it means it's a steep hill. If you go for a walk on the north part, north of town, all you have to do is follow where you went. Count the number of contour lines that you crossed and divide by two, and you'll find out how high you climbed, how much elevation you ascended during that day. You divide by two because half of them you're going down. So we have a representation on two dimensions that represents three. God has given us a chart. He's given us a map, a perfect map. And it's written in time. But it represents eternity. This book is different than all other books. It's a navigational aid through this life that is different than all others. You can find all kinds of philosophies and all kinds of representations and all kinds of things to follow in life, and none of them compare to this, because this one gives us information about eternity. It gives us a map. I look at this as a handbook of life. How that we get through this journey that God has given us to get through. We don't have to go blind. We've got a God who is begging to lead us. Even before we get saved, the Holy Spirit must draw us. We don't know how to get saved. We don't know how to get to God. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father who sent me should draw him." We can't say that I have anything to do with that salvation except to follow the draw of God. So we want to look a little further at these tools that God has given us. The Word of God is for all men of all ages. It is the one and the only correct map that must be used for this journey of life. Any of the others are going to lead you astray. You know, the goal is that we find eternal life. There are all kinds of representations of life and all kinds of philosophies that you might follow, all kinds of religions and isms, but they all fall short. You see, this one is charted, is given by God, who is omniscient. I don't know about eternity. I've never been there. My carnal mind cannot fathom it, but God's given me a map to get there. I can truly say I know beyond all doubt. I don't stay on it very well, but I am on the road to heaven. If you've been saved, you know that also. You know, when we read the Word of God, it confirms that experience that we had when we found the Lord. Now, the best topographical map is utterly useless until you get the thing oriented. You can have the best map in the world of the place where you are, and it's worthless if you don't know how to use it and if you don't know which way is directions. To use this map, you would go out north of town, and this is the area north of town. This is an ordinary compass, and you would line north up. There's some grid lines on there. You can't see them from there. You can see them here on the side. You'd line the side of that up with north on this. You turn around so that that's so, and what you're looking at is the map out in front of you. This Bible is a wonderful tool. It's given to us by God. I truly believe it is written by the inspiration of God. But you've got to get it oriented. You've got to get it oriented. Before I moved to West Tennessee, I've told some of you this, I thought I'd lived in Missouri all my life, and I just always assumed that I had just a sure sense of direction. I couldn't remember half a dozen times in my life where I really got turned around. But I got to West Tennessee, and I didn't know what direction was what about three-fourths of the time. I did have one consolation down there, and that is if you drive long enough, there's a real high probability you end up right where you started eventually. And I got to reading and looking, and I figured out why that was so. Being in Missouri, Missouri was settled after the National Survey. And so the land was divided into sections. And there were section roads. Now, there's lots of curvy roads in Missouri, but if it's a straight road, there is a real good high probability that that road is either due north and south or due east and west. No wonder I could tell direction. I lived in a world that was situated north, south, and east, west. We lived on a section road. I lived out in the country, and when I'd go run at night, I'd go out the driveway, and I'd turn left, and I'd look down that road, that gravel road, and the middle part of it had a hump in the middle. You look right straight up over that, and I could tell that it was exactly north. You see, there's a way that you can get oriented at night where you can figure out what's north, the way you can orient your map. If you go out tonight and you take a camera and you put it on a tripod and you point it straight up with a pretty wide angle and you put it on bulb. You just open the shutter and just let it sit there for, let's say, 10 minutes. Close the shutter. Then look at your picture. You're going to get a bunch of little arcs where the stars have moved. Actually, the Earth's moving. I know that. But where the stars have moved, there are going to be little arcs. Everywhere there's a star, except for one star. If your camera has a fine enough definition, you'll find that over here there's a star that doesn't move. Again, actually, the stars don't move. The Earth moves. But that star apparently has no movement. It's called Polaris, called North Star. For thousands of years, men have used it to navigate at night because it is true north. You know, this thing is not really true. It's got a screw on the front here where you change it because north changes wherever you are in the United States, wherever you are in the world. It's not too bad here. It's about 4 degrees off here. You go to Alaska, it'd be 22, 23, 24, 26 degrees. It makes a big difference. But I don't care if you're in Alaska or Missouri or Kentucky or Florida, as long as you're in the North Hemisphere and you can see the North Star, you have true north. In the Bible, it says that there shall come a star out of Jacob. This map becomes useful to you when you come to know Jesus. That establishes things. You know which way's up and which way's right and which way's left. This Bible then, as far as a way to live, becomes useful to us because we know Jesus, because we have it oriented. The second thing you have to know is where you are. Where are you? Where are you going? There's ways you can find yourself on a map. If you don't know, you can look out and you can find an object that you can identify, and you can find it on a map. You find another object, you can identify it on the map. You have two of them. You can use a process called triangulation. You can find exactly where you are on the map. You know what's neat? When I do that, I like to take at least three things. And I feel really good if they all three lines cross at the same spot. That's kind of a keep safe. I know that my work is accurate, and I'm pretty sure that that's where I am. You ever read this and something sound familiar? Read in there about David talking about his salvation. I know about that. I've been there. And I can find myself in here. And then with that knowledge, then I can use this as an application in my life where I am supposed to go. This and the Holy Spirit and knowing God is something that will get us where we need to be. If we have our lives aligned correctly, it makes a difference. I had the privilege to open a school building in 1985, and I worked in it 3 or 4 or 5 years. I don't know, several years. And one spring, it was necessary for me to be in the building early in the morning. Actually, I was answering the phone, so I turned the PA on and keyed the mic and set it over the telephone, and I did my run in the hallway while I was listening for the phone to ring. This school was built basically on one big, long hallway that ran east and west. Now, I'd gotten there before the thing was finished, and there wasn't a road. They built the school out in the middle of 25 acres of empty land. They built the building first, and then they built the road in front of it. I got to noticing, as I was running when the sun would come up. And the sun would come up, and I'd see the sun come up, and the light would come through that eastern window. And I noticed that it'd shine on the north wall. And the next day when I'd come, it would do that, but the spot of the sun would be down the hall a little ways, 3 or 4 feet. Because the sun, apparently, the earth's moving, the axis and all so forth, but the sun was coming up north. And so I kept watching it and move a little more, every day. In fact, as it got down the hallway because of the angle, it was moving more feet every day. And I looked at the calendar. It was about the 18th of March. And I looked on there, and the spring equinox was on the 21st. And so I went on the 19th, and it was a little further. It was getting kind of close to the door on the other end. And on the 21st, I went, and the sun went from the eastern door all the way to the door on the west. Whoever laid that building out, laid it out exactly east and west. I was very impressed. If we lay our lives out according to the Bible, it's going to show down the road. I never knew who that was. I never met him, but his work was sure admired. I don't know what kind of instrument he used, but he sure knew what east and west was. We must be consistent and diligent in the use of these tools to navigate through this world. It is impossible, I think, for a child of God to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord, a life that is blessed, without the Bible. I think it's something that, I don't know about you, but it's something that I neglect. I think we need to keep ourselves in this. You know, it is by this, and this relates very closely, by this book, the Holy Spirit works to sanctify us, to keep us lined up, to guide us through this life. Had another experience that kind of gives us kind of an alternative way, although it's very related, to find direction. You know, if in your life you think you have a lot of ups and downs, you have a lot of ups and downs in your life, don't answer me, but you have some hard times, mountaintops and valleys. Several years ago, I was fishing in North Carolina with a guide. And one day, he took us to a wilderness area, my favorite day. And we didn't see anybody all day, just the Brother Wheeler and me and this guide. And this guide at this particular time was standing by me, and we was in water so deep, and I was fishing, and he's trying to tell me how to do it. And he said, a few months ago, there was two hikers that were lost up on that mountain for 4 days. And I said, say again? He said, there were a couple of hikers that were lost on that mountain for 4 days. I said, they were lost on that mountain? He said, they were lost on that mountain. I said, why didn't they come down? You see, if they'd have gone down, they'd have come to some water. And in that area, if they had followed that water, it'd have been a little stream that had gone to a big stream. If they'd followed long enough, they'd have gone right downtown Asheville, North Carolina. It's an awful good way to find yourself, is to go down until you find the Holy Spirit, and you're going to end up at the throne of God. Now, we've got tools to how to get around. That's what we talked about so far. But God has a way that He has designed for us to live. You know, much of the time we neglect it and we go off on our own. But God has a way that He wants us to live. Now, I want you to understand that God is a good God, and that the way that He has designed for us, He has designed for us because He loves us. You know, I was pretty ways in my ministry, or in the ministry that the Lord, I'd been preaching for a while. I don't like to use that terminology. I've been preaching several years. And I came to the realization that God even gave us the law because He loves us. He knows our tendencies. And He gives us these things because He loves us. He knows that we need them. You know, a happy society and a prosperous people is a people that lives according to the precepts that God has given us. God's children are happy when they follow the dictates of God. God has designed a holy way for us to live. That's what Isaiah was talking about. And so, you know, even with this map, you've got to have some place to go. If I go to a wilderness area somewhere and I'm going to go on a hike and I've got a map, I've got to have a plan. And when I'm going someplace like that, I have a plan before I take the first step. I know exactly where I intend to go, how long I'm going to be gone. I've probably counted contour lines and know how much I'm going to go up and down on hills. I have it planned out. We don't plan it out for ourselves. God does. God has a plan for you. He got a plan for me. And I'll guarantee you that it is a holy plan. We want to look at it in general, that this way of holiness, this way to the heavenly Zion, to the dwelling place of God. The Christian with his navigation tools and skills is, if he's skillful with those, is prepared to follow the way that God would direct. Have you ever seen how that God directs you in your life? I hope you have. If you tried to follow the Lord, I think you can look back and see how the Lord has led you here and there. But you see, we need the tools to get around to use that God had given us so that we can go where the Lord would have us to go. Zion of old was the one place where the altar of sacrifice was, where the ark was, the mercy seat. The dwelling place of God, where God manifested Himself in His glory and communed with His people. There was one place, and that was Jerusalem, Zion. During captivity, the Israelites often were prohibited from that when they were under attack or when they were in captivity, and oftentimes they would look toward that longingly. You remember Daniel? Every day he opened his windows 3 times a day, looking toward Jerusalem to pray. The text declares that there is a way to God and heaven. Now, when God saves us, our soul is secure. But if God leaves us on this earth, we are to transgress through it. We are to navigate through it. We are to live life that God has given us. How would God have us to live it? We have a way that tells us. We have a God that leads us along that way. The text declares that there is a way to God and heaven. There is an highway and a way, one way. There are not two ways to heaven. There's not two ways. You might say, well, I've saved. What difference does it make? If we are going consistently toward God, then our life points other people toward God. It makes our life the life that God would have for us to be, and it is the way to live. It's the way that God wants us to live. It's the way that He wants to bless us. Jesus said, I am the way. No man cometh through the Father but by me. Of course, Jesus is the center of that way. He said in another place, He's the way and the truth and the life. He is the way to truth, to life, to peace, to holiness. Otherwise, there is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You need this map. You need this orientation. I don't know about you, but I've been in the woods a lot of times, and it's a new area to me. If I just go in there after a while, every tree looks the same. I can't just walk that way. I got a map in front of me. I mean, I carry it in front of me with the compass on top of it so that I know where I am. I wish I was half that diligent in my life, that I would keep the Word of God in front of me, that I'd keep it in my heart, and that I'd keep my heart looking to the Lord to keep myself oriented, that I would not miss one step. When I'm walking a trail, sometimes they are hard to follow, and it's very difficult, and I try very carefully because I don't want to get lost. I don't want to take a misstep. I pray that God would help me, that it would be that important. More so, that I would walk every day the life that God would have for me to do. This is an old way. It is an old way. I remember years ago a good old deacon where I was pastoring. He had a couple of older girls, three I guess altogether, and they all had children, and he had some grandchildren. His younger son finally got married, and he had a child, and he and his wife were just, you know, just like this over that child. He came to me. I was talking to him how things were going. He said, you'd think nobody had ever done this before. You know, he was kind of fascinated with it because of how they were all stirred up and everything, you know, had to be this way and that. And to him, it was old hat. People have gone this way before. It is an old way. He says, stand ye in the paths and see, and ask for the old paths wherein is a good way, and walk therein. Ye shall find rest for your souls. There is one Christ who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Things on the face of this earth change, but God never changes. And it may look different, but it is the same way that has been followed. And of course, Jesus has walked this way. The prophets and the apostles have walked this way. This is a way that God has designed. It was authorized by God. It was constructed by God. And it is the King's highway. It is a royal way. It is a privilege. And we ought to look at it not being a burden, but being a privilege. Being a way that God has designed specifically for us because He loves us. Road building over a large and rugged country is very, very costly. Read about a company that has discovered tens of millions of ounces of gold in Canada. Problem is, there's no electrical power there, and there's no roads for hundreds of miles. It's going to be exceedingly expensive to get to that gold. To bring sin to holiness and death to life and condemnation to justification. It cost God the jewel of heaven. You see, God paid for our souls, but He paid for our life. He paid for this way that has been made. God help me to see what God has done, and that I could see this way and see God's intent in it, that I might determine in my heart, God, help me to follow that way. I know even by experience that it is the way that is good to live. But God has constructed this at very, very great expense. Far greater than 10,000 universes, it's cost the Son of God. This way, even today, and will be as long as this earth here, is in good condition. I can't complain about the way. It's there as long as Jesus sits on the throne of grace. This way is good. I'm thankful for my benefit, but I'm thankful that I can declare that to lost souls, that I can say that the Lord wants to save you. It's possible for you to get to save. God wants to save you. The traveling on this way is under the protection of the King of Kings. It's His road. The construction was authorized by God before the foundation of the world. It was built by divine power. It is the King's highway. Jesus has walked it, and He made it for us. You see, it still relates to this. We need these tools. We need these tools to be able to navigate. We need the Bible, and we need God and Jesus in our heart. We need to keep Him there all the time. We need to keep ourselves square, straightened up, oriented always. But it is for the purpose that we might follow the way that God has made for us. This is a plain path. It's suitable for all men. You don't have to be a great navigator. You have to be saved. You have to know the Lord. You need to read the Word of God. It is a plain gospel that points men to heaven. It is a safe way. I think it's the verse after the one I designated as text said, there will be no lion there. Now, if we get off of this path, and we can't lose our salvation, I want you to understand that. But, you know, sometimes I think, as Bunyan said, we get off in the swamp of despair. If the devil can get our attention off of the Lord, then we stray and we go this way and that, and we get sometimes in a terrible mess. Isn't it a wonderful thing to be in the will of the Lord? To be able to look to God and to be on this sweet, wonderful way that God has designed for us. So God has given us the tools, the Bible, the map, the chart. He's given us a living God, a Jesus that orients us to that, that brings that to life, that gives us direction in life so that we can use this. The Holy Spirit takes that and makes it alive and makes it real to us. And you can take that Bible and put it out in front of you, and you can see where God would have you to go in life. And we can look at the way that God has designed for us, and the Holy Spirit will lead us in the direction that He would have us to go. Now, what is our duty in connection with this way of holiness? First of all, we need to discriminate between road and road. Satan is an expert at confusion. And brethren, he'll get us all if we aren't diligent. He said, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they be of God. I think there's been a lot of people, even people that know the Lord, that have gone astray, that did not intend to go astray. I think they were sincerity. But you see, sincerity must meet truth. We've got to have truth in our life. We've got to fashion our life around that truth. Sincerity is necessary, but it is not sufficient. Now, he wasn't saved yet, but the example I always use is Saul of Tarsus. He was diligent. He said he was a Pharisee's Pharisee. I really believe he thought he was doing the work of the Lord. I think he thought he was on the way. Praise the Lord that he found out he wasn't. But even being saved, we can get on the wrong road. We can go a long ways in the wrong direction. A lot of people disagree with me, but I think King Saul will save men. I don't think the Lord would have chosen him a king. I use that as an example because he went a long, long ways in the wrong direction. Don't say, I'd never do that. We will if we don't trust the truth. If we don't keep that map out in front of us, if we don't keep our heart full of the Spirit of God leading us in the way that God would have for us to go. So the first thing we have to do is discriminate between road and road. Maybe you all get that down. I find that that is a lifelong endeavor. Can't ever say, I know it all. Satan is greater than I am. I need the knowledge that God will have me that I need. I think He'll provide what we need. He knows the fork that'll come in the road tomorrow. He'll prepare me for that if I allow Him to. But our first duty is to discriminate road from road, that we would find the way. Secondly, once we have determined it, we need to stay on it. I like the 6th chapter of Ephesians. It says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. And he's talked about that. And he said, and you may be able to withstand all the evil day. And having done all to stand, having done all to stand. All this I've told you is to naught if you don't stand. So we need to determine road from road by the leadership of the Holy Spirit as He leads us in the Word of God. And then we need to go where God would have us to go. Thirdly, we need to tell others about this way. I remember the cities of refuge. God told them to have those for the man that killed somebody unawares. And the people were to keep the roads open. They were to make signs pointing people. City of refuge. God has established this plan, but it is our privilege and responsibility to point men toward it. And lastly, if there's someone here that doesn't know the Lord, you haven't found this way, your first responsibility is to go to the Lord and get on this way. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads that way. But it is the way that God has made. God has given us the tools, the map and the compass, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, Son of God. And He has a way that He wants us to go. God help us to obtain the tools. Let Him teach us the tools. Become efficient in the tools. And then to follow God and go where He'd have us to go. Amen.